10 different nisyonis in the Chumash. It only says that the king Yisroel Avraham once with respect to the Akedah, but the Tanoim had such a tradition that Ur Kasdim was an Yisroel and leaving Teretz Yisroel was an Yisroel and buying the Moris HaMachpelah. All of these were major nisyonis. Some of the Rishonim have an interesting comment on this. Where did the Tanoim get this idea from? Where is their remez in the Chumash that there were 10 nisyonis? The Pasuk says, the Mishnah says also in the same Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that Ezer, that the name Sol were Menasa HaKadosh Baruch Hu 10 times in the Midbar. The Dor HaMidbar was Menasa Hashem 10 times. By Nasa Osi Zeh Ezer Pomin. So some Rishonim point out that the 10 Nisyonos in the Midbar, what does it mean in Yisrael? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu was advising Bnei Yisrael what to do, and then, or he was leading them in a certain direction, and then they were complaining, they weren't satisfied with what was going on. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was doing something l'tayva, and then they were complaining that it was l'ra. This is what Avraham Avinu had. HaKadosh Baruch Hu led him to believe in the idea of monotheism, and he got into trouble because of that. He almost got killed. They threw him into the Ur Kasdim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, go to Eretz Canaan, and everything is difficult. They're going to leave the whole family. Every step of the way, life becomes more difficult than before. And Avraham Avinu doesn't complain, and Bnei Yisrael kept on complaining. So that's what the Nisayin is all about. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells a person to lead his life in a certain way, is in the Kabbal, the Tzivay Hashem, the Ahava, when he bumps into difficulties, or does he complain and not want to do the Dvar Hashem? So some of the Rishonim say that the expression Elokim Nisroel Avraham that appears in today's Sedra is similar to the phrase, the verb doesn't appear so many times in Tanakh. When Asos, Asos says Chem Bo Elokim means a different Lo Tanasa Hashem. That's similar to this. So the phrase appears by the Dor HaMidbar and Asos is Esapamim. So the Tanaim understood that there was a connection, or they had a tradition that there's a connection between the appearance of the term by the Dor HaMidbar and the verb over here. Well, the king Nisroel Avraham, and really, this the Gemara says in Brachos, "Nikra Avos Elo Shlosha." There are only three Avos for the Jewish people. What does it mean? There are only three Avos. The Chidor is bothered with the Kasha. There's a Mishnah in Adius that the Mishnah refers to Hillel and Shammai as the Avos HaOlam. And other passages in the Talmud also refer to other people as Avos HaOlam. So how can it be the Chidur is Hakash Aitzes and the Nikravus El Shloisha? So Yosef Engel writes in his Sefer in Beis Oitzer, it's an alphabetical, it's an encyclopedia arranged alphabetically of his Chidush Torah. So under the letter Aleph, on the Ovois, he quotes his Kasha from the Chidur. And he says he thinks the Teretz is, the Nikravus El Shloisha means the Ovois of the Jewish people. Now, Avos HaOlam is a different thing, it's a different concept. Who is the founding father of the United States of America? George Washington, the founding father. How can you call him the founding father? No, the founding fathers of the Jewish people are Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They are founding fathers of other things in the world. Avos HaOlam is a different thing. What it means is, how come Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevim? How come you don't refer to Moshe Rabbeinu as one of the Avos? The answer is the Avos. The Rishonim say this. The Avos give over genetically their tchunis to their children. They give it over in their genes, in their DNA. It goes over. So what the Chazal is saying, L'nikra Avos Elo Shloisha, does mean that they had all the insights about Yiddishkeit. Moshe Rabbeinu had insights that Avraham Yitzchak Yankee didn't have. He was the Adon HaNevim. He had much greater insights as far as understanding Elokus and understanding the Mitzvah Satara. But as far as transmitting tchunis to the descendants, l'nikra Avos Elo Shloisha, the nisyonis that Avraham Yitzchak Yankee went through, these tchunis went over in the genes to the children. Apparently there is such a thing. We're used to thinking of genes in a gashmias digger sense, what color the eyes will be, what color the hair will be, whether people will be fat or skinny or tall or short or so on. So the Tanoim understand there's an inyan of tchunis of midas also going over in the genes. That's why the Mishnah has Rav Chaim Volozhiner points out in his commentary on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. He didn't write the commentary, it was written by our grandson, but it was written based on the drushes that Rav Chaim Volozhiner used to give. He must have had notes, and the grandson wrote up the drushes. So they have on the Mishnah in the beginning of the fifth Perek in Avos, it says there were 10 generations mi Noach v'ad Avraham. And he's not referred to as Avraham Avinu, just plain Avraham. And then when it talks about the Essenitanis and Snas Avram, there it says Avraham Avinu. How come we sometimes refer to him as Avraham and sometimes refer to him as Avraham Avinu? So Chaim Volozhiner is quoted as having said, we refer to him as Avraham Avinu when we're talking about his transmitting Tunis to his descendants. He's Avinu. We got our DNA from him. So the 10 Nisyanis that Avraham Avinu went through accomplished that he worked himself out. He accomplished certain, he developed certain tunas in his neshama, and he succeeded in transmitting these tunas to the later generations. So that's perhaps what the Gemara means with Nikra Avos al Shloisha, the tunas that are transmitted from the others. That's only from Avraham Yitzchak Yankov. Moshe Rabbeinu had insights of nevuah. He had the tremendous nevuah, higher level of nevuah than the others, but he didn't have any tunas. New tunis that were transmitted to the children. So so the Rishonim have such a comment that the Tanoim had a tradition, or they understood this from reading in between the lines, where the Kimni Sos Avraham is related to the phrase Vaynasu Osi Zeh Esapomim, that the 10 Nisyonis of Avraham Avinu were that each time HaKadosh Baruch Hu led him on a certain way, and he got into big troubles with great difficulties, he didn't complain. And Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, who should have had these tunas from Avraham Avinu, not to be Menasseh Hashem, not to complain, said every step of the way they were complaining. Everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did L'Toyva, they were complaining that it was L'Ro. The big Nisayan of the Akedah, that's what the Medrash considers that the greatest Nisayan of all. And he's saying of the Akedah. So everybody asks Akash and Makshin Ho'elam, why is that considered such a great concern? We know that historically the Jews, over many generations, were Moitzei Nefesh al Kiddush Hashem. In the Second World War, they weren't given an option. Even Jews who were, even people who were only, whatever, one-eighth Jewish, were killed by the Nazis. They were Mishumadim and Gansan. They had already converted to other religions. They were killed anyway. So it wasn't a question of dying al Kiddush Hashem. They didn't give you a choice. They didn't give you an alternative. That either you convert to another religion or they're going to kill you. But in earlier generations where there was such an alternative or there was such an option, so many Jews gave up their lives al Kiddush Hashem, and many Jews, so you can say, well, to give up one's own life is easier, but to kill your own child is more difficult. That's interesting. That's a machlokes satanoim. That's how some Rishonim interpret. There is a machlekes satanoim, very strange, unclear machlekes. One Tana says, the next Tana in the Medrash says, no, Zeh Sefer told the Sodom is a greater cloud than the Hafta Racha Kamotha. What's this? What's Zeh Sefer told the Sodom? Why is this the biggest cloud? Why is that the biggest cloud? What are they fighting about? Very obscure. So the Chidor quotes one, the Chidor wrote many, many Svarim. A lot of Svarim on Drush. Half on Aloha, half on Drush. So one of the Svarim, he quotes from one of the Rishonim, one of the Bali Atesis. Maybe the Rekech, I forgot already. He had access to a lot of Kisoyad that are just now being printed. So he quotes one of the Rishonim, interprets that the Machlokes Hatanaim is whether, in psychology, whether people love their children more than they love themselves. People love themselves more than they love their children. So one Tana says, the first Tana says, you have to l'racha kamocha, you should love others like you love yourself kamocha, zeh klal gadol b'Torah. So you see the Torah considers the highest level of love is the person loves himself. And the other Tana says, no, zeh sefer told the Sodom that people love their children more than they love themselves. So one could argue that point, yeah, maybe people gave up their lives al Kiddush Hashem, maybe it's easier to give up one's own life. But to give up your child's life here, to shech your son on the arcade, maybe that's more difficult. So that we also find, right or wrong, whether they were right or wrong, we find in the days of the Rishonim, days of the Bali Atesis, the Daz the Kenan Bali Atesis, and Parshas Nech quotes this, that during the period of the Crusades, there was a period of time that many of the Bali Atesis used to kill their own children to prevent the Christians from converting them to Christianity. And some of them used to say bracha shekadishana b'vitzos v'tzivano al hashchita before they would shech their own children. The whole thing is, wow, what kind of a bracha shekadishana al hashchita? Who says you're allowed to kill your children in order that they shouldn't convert? Who says it is permissible? Who says you're allowed to kill yourself? The halacha says yari bal yavi, you give up your life if the guy is going to kill you. But are you allowed to kill yourself? Are you allowed to kill your children? Highly, highly questionable. But whatever it is, we see that they did it. Whether they were right or wrong is what to discuss, but we see that they did it. So why is it considered such a great nisoyin on the part of Avraham Avinu that he was prepared to shech the son on the Akedah? So the Velt says, there are many different answers given, the Velt says that that's exactly the answer, because Avraham was the one who broke through this midah and he transmitted it. So the others developed all of these tchunis, and they transmitted these tchunis to the in their DNA, so to speak, in their ruchnis dikah DNA. They transmitted it to all the future generations. So that's why in the later generations, it was wasn't that impossible to be ma'aser nefesh al kiddush Hashem, needed to be ma'aser nefesh themselves, nor to be ma'aser nefesh to kill their own children. But before Avraham Avinu did it, this it was considered very difficult. So that's why in the days of Avraham Avinu, this was taka tremendous nisoyin, the greatest nisoyin. In the later generations, where the tuna had already been transmitted from Avraham Avinu, that's why he's called Avinu, because the others transmit in their genes to the children. So in the later generations, it was already easier. It's very interesting that Drosh HaSaran talks about this topic also. Ran in the Drushes has an original interpretation. I don't think he has any Midrashim that say this. This is his own comment. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands Avraham Avinu regarding the Akedah, so he says, Kach no, is bincha sichitcha asher ahavta. What is the word no? So usually, ein no, elo l'shon bakosha. Rashi writes, ein no, elo l'shon bakosha. So what does it mean, the bakasha? What was the bakosha? So the Ran has an interpretation. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to Avraham Avinu and he says, if you don't want to, you don't have to, but can you do me a favor and shech your son on the Akedah? If you don't want to, you can say no. It's okay, I won't be insulted. If you say no, it's okay, I won't hold it against her, or I won't punish you, but I would appreciate. He said, no, please, just as a taser. That's his, and then Avraham Avinu felt that's the thing you have to do. Whatever makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy, you have to do. That's, he says, and that was a nisoy. That was a nisoy. To go bring your son on the Akedah when you're not mechuyif to. Just as Rebbeinu Shlomo said, I would appreciate it. If you don't want to, you don't have. It's too difficult, so say no. And don't feel embarrassed. But he said, I would appreciate it if you would do. That's quite a nisoy. That's a stambaya. So you put that already in the later generations, we don't find that anybody did that. In the later generations, they only gave up their lives because they thought that that was the din. The halacha required like that. This is a general problem. You know that we have tzivuyim. You know that we have a Shulchan Aruch, and it says you have to do this and you have to do that, and you're not allowed to do this and you're not allowed to do that. What if there's something that's not actually a tzivuy, so you can't really call it a mitzvah? You're not mechuyev, you're not mitzvah v'yoseh. It's not that you're obligated to do this, but you know that kibayachol, this would please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's very hard to speak in such terms. What do you mean to please someone? To please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you would do this pu'ula. So is one obligated to do that? So that's what we assume is the mitzvah of Ahavas Hashem. That Ahavas Hashem, the Mesilus Yeshorim quotes this medrash. Ahavas Hashem, the Ahavas Hashem Lakecho, is like a person loves his spouse or like a person loves his parents. So you don't wait till the parents ask you to please do this, please take out the garbage, and please do this, and please pick up the mail, and please take this to the post office, and so on. Please go shopping. If the child loves the parents, he does it before they request it of him. And if a person loves his or her spouse, so they do things to surprise the other one, to make the other party happy. Even if there is no tzivu, you are the rabbi, it's more meaningful if you do it as an enem mitzvah of the yosi. You demonstrate more love for the other person. And that's exactly the way it's usually assumed to be the pshat in the Mishnah and Avodah Zorah. We were just reviewing the other day when we were chazering the Gemara and Ksuba, so we said, the Gemara says in Avodah Zorah around Daf Lamed Vav, so that whenever they made a Gzeira, the Rabbanon, B'marova in Eretz Yisrael, they would not be Megala, the Tama Gzeira, the Tresa Yachei Shata, for the first 12 years, for the first 12 months. They wouldn't let anybody know the reason for the Gzeira, the Rabbanon, The Gzera was always instituted as a loitlug b'litam. They had to have a tam. They had to be motivated to make the Gzera. They had to have some good reason. If they only had some flimsy, insignificant reason, so that's a violation of Baal Tosef. And they said, "L'shchicha l'gazer be'abonon." So the Prima Gadim said, "You're not allowed to make a Gzera if you're just concerned because of a far-fetched chashash. You have to have a serious consideration to have the right to make a Gzera d'rabbanon. Once you make the Gzera d'rabbanon, so it's a loitlug rabbanon." And it applies even in cases where the reason for the Gzera doesn't apply. So the Mishnah says when they made the Gzera and Gvinas, with very few exceptions to the rule, but they had to incorporate the Tamak Gzera and the Nusach Gzera. They said on the level of the rice, 98% of the mitzvahs, you don't have the Tam incorporated into the Nusach HaMitzvah. In very rare case, less than 2% of the mitzvahs, you have the Tam HaMitzvah incorporated in the mitzvah, called the Tikkun Rabbanan Kein, the rice, the Tikkun, also around 98% and 2%. Something like that. So we mentioned that the Mishnah records a story that when the Chachamim made the Gzera the Rabbanim prohibiting Gvina Sakum, so one of the Tanoim was invited to attend the conference. He was on the committee and something came up, he wasn't there. So the next day he heard that they prohibited Gvina Sakum, so he's going for a walk with the other Tana who was there. So he says, "I heard, by the way, he made Gzera Gvina Sakum, what's the reason?" So he starts talking about the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim and he doesn't answer him. So the Gemara says, "Why didn't he answer him?" So he says, because you're not allowed to divulge the reason. He was supposed to have been there. The other Tana was supposed to be there by the committee. He was invited to come, but he didn't show up for some reason or another, whatever, he was busy learning, I don't know. So he didn't show up to make the Gzera. He's not there, so we're not, he's an outsider. So we're not allowed to tell the reason for the Gzera to the outsiders. So what was that pasuk that he told him? He quoted the pasuk, Kitovim Dadecha Miyoy. He had a whole discussion, who's speaking to whom? The girl is speaking to the boy, a boy is speaking to the girl, Kitovim Dadecha. Is it the Loshen Zohar, Loshen Keva? It's a Mishnah. So what does it mean? What does that pasuk mean? Kitovim derdech b'yoy. So the Gemara interprets on that pasuk, Chaviv in divrei sofrim yosim miyena shel Torah. How do you translate the words of the pasuk? Kitovim derdech b'yoy, the love that you, the affection and the love that you show me, I appreciate and enjoy much more than drinking wine. When you drink wine, there's one kind of pleasure that you have. Physical pleasure. When a beloved one showers love and affection on a spouse or on a friend, on a dear friend, so it's more cherished. So the Gemara comments on that pasuk. What is the allusion? The whole Shir HaShirim is a mashal regarding the love between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. All of Tanakh we say you have Pshut Shel Mikra and you have. And then in addition to the Pshut Shel Mikra, you have additional levels of interpretation as well. And now, Shir HaShirim, the Gemara says, the Mishnah says that it's Kodesh, Rabbi Kiva says in the Mishnah, that it's Kodesh Kodoshim, that there is no Pshut Shel Mikra. The whole thing is only a mashal to the relationship of love between HaKodesh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So what is this pasuk referring to? What aspect of the love? So the Gemara says, Chaviv in Divrei Sofrim, Yosem Yenu Shel Torah, HaKodesh Baruch Hu appreciates and cherishes more are instituting dinim derabbanan more so than observing the dinim deraisa. Why? But he told us to sit in sukkah, he told us to wear tefillin to say krishna. So that he doesn't appreciate. He only appreciates the dinim derabbanan. Why does he appreciate the dinim derabbanan? So that's what the mefarshim say. What is the whole idea of a dinim derabbanan? The yisoid achiv of the dinim derabbanan is really the mitzvah of you have to rest Hashem elokecha. You have to express, you have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Love is not just a chavis alvavis, it's a chavis alvavis. You have to do something about it. How do you show that you love someone else? By doing actions that demonstrate that you love them. What kind of action? Things that you know would make the other person happy. If one loves his spouse and one loves his parents, or you're going out with a girl and you're interested in the girl, you want to show that you like her, so you buy her some flowers or something, you buy her some chocolates, I don't know, she has to go on a diet, so don't buy her some chocolates. Buy her some dietetic chocolates, okay. Something, you have to surprise the person to do something that'll make them happy. So that's what the Chazal understood in the pasuk Kitovim Derdecha Miyoyin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates our demonstration of our love towards Him, the Hainu, by our volunteering the Din and the Rabbanon. We are mechuyev to do the Din and Rabbanon because the Chacham told us. What's the Yesod HaChiyuv? That's the question. What is the Chiyuv based on? So the Pashtus is the Chachamim. The Gemara says, based on the pasuk, Shalavichav Yagetcha Zikinechav Yomeloch. What Shalavichav Yagetcha is one of the Tariag mitzvahs. It's not from the mitzvah HaTerah. No, so the Mefarshim explained. Shalavichav Yagetcha Zikinechav Yomeloch. People have a lot of experience in figuring out what would make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. A a person is young and he just looks into the Torah, he just knows he has to do this, not allowed to do that. Doesn't necessarily know what direction, doesn't necessarily know the whole picture of the whole Torah. But people, Shalavich, the Agedch, the Genech of Yarmulach, if you ask the Rabbanim, and the Talmid Chachamim, and your grandparents, and so on, so they, through their great experience, may be able to discern a pattern, and they'll be able to tell you what would Kivayochel make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy. So that's why we are obligated to do these activities, all of these, the Rabbanim, because we're supposed to express our love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it doesn't mean that if you have a choice between doing a Din D'Oraisa and a Din D'Rabbanan, you do the Din D'Rabbanan because it'll make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happier. No. That's when we spoke about the Bahag, Avelis Yom Rishon, when it's in conflict with Yom Tocheni Shel Golias. So Tosfos said maybe the whole Bahag's premise is not correct. Maybe there is no such klal, that whenever there's a conflict between a D'Oraisa and a D'Rabbanan, the D'Oraisa always wins. Tosfos says maybe the D'Rabbanan will win. Tosfos is not so convinced that the Bahag is right. But the Pashtus says the Bahag is right in principle. We don't follow the Ramah, doesn't pass from like the Baha'i, because he passes that even Avelis Yom Rishon is love D'Oraisa. But if Avelis Yom Rishon would have been D'Oraisa, he has a good argument, the Baha'i, that whenever there's a conflict between a D'Oraisa and the Rabbanan, D'Oraisa should take precedence. So what is this Mishnah telling us? Chavivim D'Risef M'Yesim Yen Shoftan. No, it means when Bnei Yisrael fulfill the mitzvahs D'Oraisa and also volunteer on their own to do the mitzvahs D'Rabbanan, volunteer in the sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command it, but we understand because the Rabbanim tell us, they assessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they interviewed the Rabbanim Shalom, so to speak, they psychoanalyzed the Rabbanim Shalom, so to speak, and they figured out that this would make him, this would please him. If we'll light Hanukkah candles, if we'll read the Megillah and Purim, if we'll do all the mitzvahs of the Rabbanim, this would kivayochel please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's why we're obligated to do it, to demonstrate our love towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why you have to ask Hashem Elokecho. That's the chelik of the Chovis HaEvorim. And the Ahavta is not only a Chavis Alvavis, to be a Jew at heart, to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your heart. It's to demonstrate that you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's a very big thing. A lot of people are missing that. They say, where does it say? Where does it say you have to do that? It doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say in the Gemara, it doesn't say you're not mechuyif to do it. And you have Chachamim, and every generation will tell you certain things. This is Ruach Chachamim Dochahemenu, and this is Ein Ruach Chachamim Dochahemenu. So why is one obligated to do what this Ruach Chachamim Dochahemenu? And they're prohibited to do what Ein Ruach Chacham Dochahemenu, but the Chacham didn't say don't do that. It isn't even an Issa D'Rabbanan. Doesn't matter. They don't have to say it's osur. They don't have to say it's obligatory. If the Chachamim are not happy about something, so we should understand that that will not please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why are they not happy? Because of all the Torah that they learned, they think that that's not Kefi Ruach HaTorah. That's not in the spirit of the law. And maybe in accordance with the letter of the law, but it's not in accordance with the spirit of the law. So what does it mean, the spirit of the law? Spirit of the law means to do things that would please HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to do things that would displease him, even if he never prohibited that thing. So that was the big nisoyan of Avraham Avinu, according to the way the Drosha Saran interpreted. Kach no es bincha sechitza. He says that Rabbanu Shalom didn't really command him. He said, look, if it's too difficult, so don't do it, but I'd ask you as a favor, this would really make me very happy, this would please me, if you offer your son as a korban. We don't, Baruch Hashem, we don't have such nisyonis to offer our children as karbonis. We have other nisyonis. But the din is not so clear-cut. It's not black and white that you're obligated to do this. But a lot of times it's obvious that it's ain't Ruach HaCham Doech HaEmenu. And in the sense that the Chachamim feel that this will not please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be pleased if we would do X, Y, Z as opposed to A, B, C. That's the pasuk that the Gemara quotes. What is the binding force of the Dinam Derabbanan? Shalavicha v'yagetcha. What is shalavicha v'yagetcha? It's not an obligation. It's not from the mitzvah satzer. No. It means shalavicha v'yagetcha to give you the interpretation of what's the spirit of the law. And you should follow what they say. Whatever is the spirit of the law, you should understand on your own that that's what you have to do. A lot of people are missing this. They're missing a major point in what Judaism is all about. We have such a concept in halacha of mitzvah harshus. It's a very original idea. Usually you think a mitzvah means you're obligated. Mitzuvah. Mitzvah means vayitzav Hashem Elokim al ha'adam. Vayitzav means a commandment. You're obligated to do it. And once in a while we have this strange term, a strange concept of mitzvah shus. Take for example, a famous one, the Vilna Goyen. There was some Rishonim who say like that, that although the obligation to eat matzah is only Laila HaRishon Shal Pesach Mikan V'Elach Rishus, the rest of Pesach eating matzah is only optional, it does, the Vilna Gaon is quoted as saying, it doesn't mean that it's optional. If you don't want to, you don't have to. If you want to, if you're hungry, say, eat it. No, he said, if you'll eat matzah, it'll be a mitzvah kiyumis. It will be a kiyuma mitzvah. There's a whole discussion. Maybe you should say a bracha. We don't. Shekhidishan of the mitzvah al achilas matzah. We say hamoisim. When you eat matzah, the rest of the face of it. Well, we only say al achilas matzah laila harishon. The first two nights in the Siddurim. Outside of this say that we don't say al achilas matzah. And others had a practice that yes, they said the bracha all of Pesach because of the fact that the Vilna Gaon said it's a mitzvah social. Pashtus says that that's not the accepted opinion. Or we discussed other such examples on mitzvah shoes. Let's say the Netziv has in the end of his commentary on Vayikra, Chumash Vayikra, so he shakes out a few examples. He's mechadish that lokuach aser te'aseres kol tvua zarecha ayot yasvar shana shana. So the Gemara says in Bava Netziv Daf Peches, that's the pasuk in the A, aser te'aser. So the Gemara comments on zarecha pratle lokuach, that if you buy tvua from someone else, then there's no obligation min haTorah to be mafresh Trumah Demaisa. The only obligation min haTorah is if it's zarech, if it grew in your own field. Different opinions in Tyson's world. When is it? If you bought it before Miruach, after Miruach, both Ashayla and Rishonim, about the details. But the principle is that in a lakuach, the obligation to be mafresh is only the Rabbanim. So the Netziv has a chiddush that Rav Elvela goes along with, and he develops it further. The obligation to be mafresh is with the Rabbanim, but if you would be mafresh, it would be chal min haTorah. There would be a mitzvah so shuts. This along the lines of the Ravid, who writes in his Sefer Kosuv Sham are the Hasogas on the commentary of the Balamor. So he writes in the Hasogas and the Kosuv Sham on the end of Kulin that Hafrashas Trumas Amaisis Menatoyer is only obligatory on the Shivas Aminim, on Dog and Tirish V'Yitzah, But the Rav Mishnayim says Shivas Aminim. The Ravid writes only on Dov and Tirish V'Yitzar. But if a person will volunteer to be mafresh on apples and on beans and on coconuts that grow in Eretz Yisrael, the hafrasha will be chal min haTorah. It's not that the whole thing is entirely an invention with the Rabbanan. The chlova to be mafresh, the Yisr Tevel with the chlova to be mafresh, that's only the Rabbanan. But if you want mafresh, it'll be chal min haTorah. So there is such a concept on the level of the rice of the mitzvah kiyumis. That's exactly what this Ran is talking about. Kachnos bin chosichitva. There's such a thing as a kiyum de rice, even though there's no chiyuv. All of the chiyuvim de rabbanon, all the mitzvahs de rabbanon are because we assume that this is it's obligatory because of Avos Hashem. Why is it Avos Hashem? Because we understand on our own that this is a mitzvah kiyumis. Sometimes to volunteer something is ridiculous. We spoke about it. Let's say a person's going to sit in sukkah when it's pouring. So it says in Shofan Ach Mikra Hedya, there's no kiyum at all. And sometimes there is a kiyum. If a woman wants to shake a lulav, if a woman wants to listen to Tzkiyah Shofar, so there is a kiyum as an Eina Mitzvah Liyosa, and the Gemara has a debate. Who gets more reward? The man who's Mitzvah Liyosa, the woman is Eina Mitzvah Liyosa, because she's volunteering. But everybody agrees that there is a kiyum. And other times when you volunteer, there's no kiyum at all. So that's what you have to have a feel for the halacha in order to know what is the spirit of the law. When is the letter of the law, we can figure out more or less. What is the spirit of the law? That's often a little more difficult to know. When would there be a mitzvah kiyumis? When is there not even a mitzvah kiyumis? It's nikra hedyot. That's ridiculous to volunteer over there. I think that's what the Mefarshim comment on the post, Ruchi Asher Alecha Dvar Asher Samti Beficha Lo Yimushim Beficha Mipizaracha Zera Zaracha, etc. So what does it mean, Ruchi Asher Alecha Dvar Asher Samti Beficha? So Ruchi Asher Alecha is the spirit of the Lord. Dvar Asher Samti Beficha are the Tzivu Yimamish that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. So the Jew has to observe the spirit of the law, and he has to observe also the letter of the law. In the days of the Obis, Kodem Matan Torah, the Gemara has the tradition, the last daf in Kiddushin. The Gemara says, "Kiyum Avraham Avinu Kol HaTarukula Ad Sheloi Nitna." He volunteered to keep everything because it says in Tarek Sedra, "Mana Sheitav is Banos Lechus V'Derech Hashem Lasis Tzadok Mishpat." It says that he taught his children to keep all the mitzvahs Hatar. It sounds like he kept everything, and the Gemara says, "Even did him the Rabbanon he kept." Yes, so he was able to figure out. From the little that he was commanded to do, he was able to figure out Ruchi Asher Alecha. He could understand the spirit of the Torah that he had, and he understood all the Tariag Mitzvahs HaTar with the Dinim Derabbanan. Everything he understood on his own. Most people can't understand that much, but they do understand other things. there are things that fit into the spirit of the law, and the things that are not in the spirit. Roch Hacham Nechamenu, Ein Roch Hacham Nechamenu. What is in the spirit of the law, what's not? And this would give a Yochel, please HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we say, well, God doesn't have any emotions, and you don't please him. Yeah, everybody understands also God doesn't have any emotions. But the Torah speaks that we're supposed to act as if the Ribbono Shel Olam does have emotions. If there is such a thing as pleasing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to do something to make HaKadosh Baruch Hu happy, Kiva Yochel. I don't know why Kiva Yochel, because it's not to be understood in the same sense as making human being happy. Interesting, in the beginning of the parsha, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Vayere Elov Hashem Be'elon Emamri, Hashem appeared to Avram Avinu, and no nevuah is recorded in the Chumash. So what was the purpose of this appearance? Why did Hashem appear to Avram Avinu? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Lebakar Es Achoyle, that this is a hemshach of the end of Parshas Lech Lecha, that Avram Avinu had just performed the Bris Milah 2 days earlier, and the Yom HaShlishi, there's a takana for the surgery for the one who just had the bris milah. Machlokes in Rishonim, what does it mean? On the third day, there's more of a takana than the first day and the second day. I mean, even up until and including the third day, there's also a takana. More takana on the first day, a little less on the second day, and even on the third day, there's also a takana. A discussion in Shulchan Aruch. So Avram, so Kadosh Baruch Hu came to Mivakachem. He came to heal. Kadosh Baruch Hu came to be mevakeh chayla by Avraham Avinu, and that's why we say that the halachta b'drachav requires of us that we should be mevakeh chayla mahu afata, just like Kadosh Baruch Hu came to be mevakeh chayla by Avraham Avinu, so too we should be mevakeh chayla. The pesukim say later that after Sarah died, so then Hashem appears to Yitzchak, and Kadosh Baruch Hu is menachem Yitzchak. So just like Kadosh Baruch Hu is menachem Avelim, mahu menachem Avelim afata, we should also be menachem Avelim. The pasuk says in the end of Chumash, Moshe Rabbeinu died by Yitzbarosa Bagai, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried him. The Baruch Hu is on the Chevek Kadisha, the one man Chevek Kadisha. So too, it's proper that people should volunteer to bury others. You should join the Chevek Kadisha if you have time and you have the guts to take it, to deal with dead bodies. So Mahu Afata, to show Kavod HaBriyos to people. All of these are Kavod HaBriyos. So it's interesting, in the middle of this, the Ribbono Shel Olam comes to Avraham Avinu to visit him just to be mevakeh chayla. In the middle, the malachim come. And they came in the appearance of Shlosh Anoshim. They looked like human beings. And Avraham Avinu is mafsik in the middle. What's that? Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam have the three malachim come just then when he came to be mevakeh chayla? So Rav Soloveitchik said over that some of the Mefarshim on the Chumash explained that this was a test. This was a test to see how Avraham Avinu is going to deal with it. There's an issue that comes up all the time. A guy is busy doing some mitzvah bin adam lamakom, and then comes up a mitzvah bin adam lachaveira in the middle. So he keeps, let's say, a guest comes into the house. Someone is staying over a long dvatera, and a guest comes into the house. So do you greet the guest, say shalom aleichem, in the middle of the dvatera, have a seat, and then you proceed? Or you have the guy wait there for half an hour until you finish your dvatera, and then after you finish the dvatera, then you greet the guest. So the psukim say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avraham Avinu. Mamish, he's having an audience with the Ribbono Shel Olam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends three angels. What he's sending now, this is a test to see Avraham Avinu is going to think that they're people. So we're going to test Avraham Avinu to see, is he going to stay with the Ribbono Shel Olam and ignore the people, or is he going to be mafsik in the middle of the visit and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please excuse me, I want to take care of the three people. That's what Rashi has from the Gemara. Rashi quotes from the Gemara, Shlosh HaMachlekes HaTanai, Vayomar, Hashem Emnom Tzasachem Yanech, Alav Dalad Nun Yud, is that Hashem Kodesh, is that Hashem Kol? Is Avraham Avinu speaking to the Ribbono Shel Olam? Please excuse me, I want to take care of the three guests. They're hungry, they're thirsty, they're tired. Or is he speaking, or should we assume the Shekhinah went away already, and Avraham Avinu is speaking Adonai, Loshen Chol, to the Godel Shebehem Hoya Omer, and he's speaking to them Baloshin Kavod, my masters. He's speaking to the people whom he thought were human beings. But according to the one interpretation, the Shekhinah was still there with Avraham Avinu, and Avraham Avinu is mafsik the Kabbalah Shekhinah in order to greet the guests whom he thought were human beings, because all people were created at Tzelem Elokim. The fact that all people were created at Tzelem Elokim is the source of the obligation to demonstrate Kavod HaBriyos. So that's the halacha over here. You have to be mafzik. In the middle of the Kabbalah's Pnei Hashchina, in order to greet the guests. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. The halacha says, V'dibarta bam. It says in the Kriya Shema, V'dibarta bam. So the Gemara says in Yuma, Daf Yitesen and Beis, V'dibarta bam v'loy b'tfilo. So what does that mean, V'dibarta bam v'loy b'tfilo? So Rashi has one shot, that when you say Kriya Shema, L'chatchil you should say it loud enough, Ad she'yashmir li'oznov. One Tana holds that it's even Makeh b'riyevet. If lo yishmir li'oznov lo yotza. We pass in lo yishmir li'oznov is yotza, Machlegs Abir and Rabbi Yosi. But l'chatchil you have to say Kriya Shema loud enough to be mashmir li'oznov. So then the Gemara says, V'dibar tabam, only Kriya Shema v'loy b'tfilah. When you daven Shema Nesra, it isn't even necessary l'chatchil to be mashmir li'oznov. You can daven balachash, mamish balachash. You don't even have to try to be mashmir li'oznov. That's the pshat that Rashi claims it says in the Shulchus. And it's even his commentary in the Shulchus thinks that the Shulchus did not say that. He gives a totally different interpretation of the Shulchus. That's what Rashi understood. Tosfos and other Rishonim don't agree with Rashi. They think that it's not true, that in Shmoneh Esrei bedafke, it's not necessary to be mashmir li'oznav. Some hold no, the Shmoneh Esrei is the same as Kriya Shema. L'chatchila should be mashmir li'oznav, just for the Eved you wouldn't be yotzei. So Soloveitchik claimed that he thought that they were Rishonim who thought that in Shmoneh Esrei, but you're not Yotze. If you're not Mashmir Li'ozim, it's Mochomer than Kriya Shema. The Machlekes in the Mishnah in Brachas L'Hashmir Li'ozim between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi is only by Kriya Shema, or by Brachas, or by other Megillah, other Mitzvah Samira, by Kiddush, Avdolah, L'Hashmir Li'ozim. But by Tefillah, by Shmoneh Esrei, he thought that maybe the Rishonim would say that even B'Yevet, you're not Yotze L'Choladeh. Bein Rabbi Yehuda, Bein Rabbi Yosi, you have to be Mashmir Li'ozim. So how do they understand this drasha v'dibarta bam v'loy b'tfilo? What does it mean? So Tosfos has a pshat from the Yerushalmi. V'dibarta bam means you're allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. V'dibarta bam. You're allowed to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. That if you're in the middle of Kriya Shema and somebody comes in, so you're permitted to be mafsik in the Akavad, in the Ayira, out of respect for the other person. But in the middle of Shemon Esrei, there you're not allowed to be mafsik. Aye, but g'dola ha'achnos ha'soch m'yosim ha'akbolos p'nei ha'shchina. You see that Avraham Avinu is in the middle speaking with the Rabbanu Shalom, and then he's mapsik in order to greet the guests whom he thought were human beings. So don't you see that the Achnos HaSorchim, the Kavod HaBriyos, which is based on the Tzelem Elokim, you see that the Kavod HaBriyos takes precedence even when you're in the middle of talking to the Rabbanu Shalom. So the Gemara says, yeah, Avraham Avinu talking to the Rabbanu Shalom, that's somehow like Kriya Shema. But in the middle of Shemon Esrei, not, that's Mocham. You're not allowed to be mapsik at all. You have to know, sometimes yes and sometimes no. So that's interesting. Some of the Mefarshim take it that this was a test. This was an Isoyan, that the Rabbanu Shalom sent the Gimel Malachim B'Davke at this time. Why didn't he send them a day later? Why didn't he send them an hour later? No, Davke at this time to test Avraham Avinu to see, is he going to have such a from attitude that he's going to ignore the bust of Adam? He's in the middle of talking to God. So he's going to ignore the people? Oh, no, he's going to... He was basically a Baal Tshuva. A lot of times the Baal Tshuva go so far, they go overboard, they don't know how to talk to people anymore. So Avraham Avinu was from a family of Avdi Avodah Zarah. And then he decided to become a monotheist, so he could have become a Baal Tshuva like many of the Baal Tshuva that we know. So no, when they're Avdi Avodah Zarah, he thought that these people were Avdi Avodah Zarah who worshipped Avok Sha'al Raglaim. That's why he said, Barachtu Raglechem, maybe wash off your feet, because I don't want to have any Avodah Zarah in my house. So he's mafsik with his conversation with the Rabbanu Shalom in order to greet the Avdi Avodah Zarah. He thought they were human beings. In order to take in, to be machnas sarkim, the Avdi Avodah Zarah. The whole generation was Avdi Avodah Zarah. What's he going to do? He's going to treat them harshly because they're Avdi Avodah Zarah. Everyone is Avdi Avodah Zarah. He wants to be mekarev them. So he's mafsik in the middle, the dibar tabam. He's mafsik in the middle of the Kabbalah Pnei Hashchina in order to give kavod habriyos to the people, in order to treat them nicely. Rashi has a comment on the opening pasuk. Who Yoshev Pesach Ohel Kechom Ayom. Rashi quotes from the Medrash Rabbah that Yoshev is written Chaser. Sometimes there are words in Tanakh that should have been Mole, they're written Chaser. Sometimes there are words that are Chaser that should have been written Mole. And the Gemara says that this is from the Midrash Atar and the Drash Hashem. If a word, you have the word Naharo, is usually often spelled in Chumash Nun Ayin Reish, and sometimes spelled Chumole Nun Ayin Reish Hey. So the Gemara has a drasha on that in, later on in the third Perek in Ketubos in Eilon Iris. The Gemara tells you why sometimes written chasa, sometimes written mole, and the same a lot of times. Eilon Iris Shetikru Oisam. We were talking the other day. Oh, that was a different shiur. Anyway, everybody knows that drasha. Rashi and Parshas and more quotes that drasha. Ashetikru Osam is written Chasavav, and it's written twice at the beginning of the Parshas Hamoris at the end. So Rashi says from the Gemara, why is it written Chasavav? That you should darshan as if it were written Atem. Ashetikru Atem. Atem means Atem Afilu Mizidim, Atem Afilu Mutim. Even if you made a mistake, the Kiddush HaChodesh Nibra Hashanah is binding. And the reason why it's written twice at the beginning and the end of the Parshas Hamoris, the first time it goes on Kiddush HaChodesh and the second time it goes on Nibra Hashanah. The both of them are binding, the psak of the Bez Nagadol is binding, even if it's an error. In other areas of Allah, the psak is not binding if it's an error. Only in Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah is there such a din, that the psak is binding even in error. So here Rashi has also a comment from the Medrash. Hu Yoshev, it's written Chosavov, how come? Dikish Lamod, when Avraham Avinu realizes that there's Kabbalah Spenei Shechina, that the Shechina came to visit him to be Mevakeh Chayla, so he tries to stand up, and then Rabbanu Shalom pushes him down and says, no, Ata Simen Livanecha, you should serve as a symbol for the future generations, that when there'll be a Din Torah, the Dayanim have to sit. And the Shechina will be there helping out the Dayanim, Aliki Nitzah Ba'daskil. So I'll be standing over you, hovering over you, and you'll be sitting, you'll represent the Bezdin, and the Bezdin has to be the Yeshiva. That's why Rashi quotes from the Medrash. This is a very strange Medrash. What is he a Bezdin for? Why is it similar Banecho on this occasion? He's not serving as a Bezdin at all. Rav Soloveitchik said over this idea that I think they have from Rav Kook and others, write the same idea. This was a popular notion by the Darshanim in Europe. The Gemara in Yuma has an expression, the Hillel Mechayiv Aniyim and Rebbe Mechayiv Ashirim. Hillel was a very poor man. And the Gemara says that they used to charge a penny to come into the base medrash every day. He didn't even have the penny to pay the Shomer HaPesach to get in. But he was chalashing to hear the Torah. So he climbed up on the roof and he was listening to the shiur. And then it says one day, it was very dark in the base medrash and they used to have a window on the ceiling. And they couldn't understand why it's so dark. So they looked up, so they saw a human figure. And it turned out that Hillel was there that morning or the day before. He couldn't afford to pay to get into the basement, so he was listening on the roof, and then it was snowing, and it snowed on top of him, and he was frozen on top. He almost got frozen to death. So the Gemara says, a lot of times people are so poor, they say, how can I learn? I can't pay Shechar Limud. How can I be observant? I can't afford to buy talis mitzvah. I can't afford to buy kosher food. It's too difficult to be religious. And other people find, have an Yisoyin Ha'isha. Other people are wealthy, and they're in business, that they'd like to get rid of the business, but they can't. It takes a while. So Tolzman is still in this business, and they have to rub shoulders with all the rich people. So they say it's very difficult to keep Shabbos. The business has to run 7 days a week, or it's very difficult to keep kosher, because you have to have meetings and restaurants with non-Jews, non-observant Jews. It's very difficult to daven mincha, to daven shacharis. The hours are such. It's very difficult to keep all the mitzvahs if a person is in he's stuck into business. What's he going to do? So there's an Isayin Ha'in and there's an Isayin Ha'isha. So the Gemara says that Hillel is Mechayiv Aniyim and Rebbe is Mechayiv Hashim. Hillel was very, very poor. And despite the fact that he was so poor, he was able to keep all the mitzvahs and to learn, and he knew what he had to do. So if no one in the world would be able to keep mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs in a state of poverty, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Tshuva Yom B'Yosef, the Rebbeinu Shlom wouldn't be angry at those poor people who violate the laws of the Torah. If all the wealthy people in the world would be in violation, it's just impossible, humanly impossible, to be wealthy and in business and to be honest and to keep mitzvah satar and to daven mincha every day with a minyan and to keep kosher, not to eat shaper, restaurants and so on. So again, the Rebbeinu Shlom wouldn't punish anybody who violates because Anis Rahman Apache. But all you need is one guy, like in a class. No? If one guy gets 100, so the other students could have gotten 100 also. So then so they deserve the C that they get. But if the highest mark is 75, so whoever gets between 65 and 75, that's an A, and 55 to 65, that's the B. Everything goes down. But if one rotten person gets 100, so then the other guys, the guys who got the 75s, are not going to get the A anymore. Maximum they'll get is going to be a B. So here also the Gemara says, Hillel is Mechayiv Aniyim. If there's one person, he lives in the same society where you live, and he's just as poor and he's poorer than you are, and he keeps Torah Mitzvah, so you could have done it as well. So the fact that Hillel kept mitzvahs, that was machayev, that demonstrated that all the other poor people could do it. And Rebbe was very wealthy. Rebbe's machayev. Rebbe Gemara says a different Tana. Another Tana was very wealthy. He's machayev all the Ashir. So that's what the Darshanim say, the Pshat over here. That in a certain sense, Avraham Avinu was like a Dayan who was sitting in judgment for the city of Sodom. He wasn't sitting in judgment, but the fact that he lived right down the block, he lived right around the corner from Sodom. And Anshi Sodom were roim v'chatoim l'Hashem yod. They were miserable, bin olam l'amokam, bin olam l'chaver. They cheated in business and they were violating everything. All the rules of decency they violated. So what was their teretz? They said, in this part of the world, the Middle East, you can't live, you can't survive unless you violate murder, unless you violate Hachnas HaZarkin. You have to violate everything. So it's not true. Look, Avraham Avinu, he lives right down the block, just a couple of miles away. And he keeps all the Torah mitzvahs, he invites in all the guests and he washes their feet. He hasn't washed off their feet. He's medaktik, not to allow Abu Dizar to be brought into his home and to do Hachnas HaZarkin and everything. So in a certain sense, it's Avraham Avinu was Mechayev Anshei Sodom. It's not that he was a judge, he didn't pass any judgment on them, but that's what the Mefarshim say. Why did the Malachim have to first, the Malachim are going to overturn the city stone, why did they first go to visit Avram, then go to stone? The one who came to tell Avram the good news that they're going to have a baby, okay. But the one who was supposed to overturn the city of stone, he should have gone straight to Sodom, but he was hungry. He stopped off on the way to get a kosher meal, to stop off by, he could have sent him he could have sent him straight to Sodom. So the answer is, the Malach has no right to destroy the city Sodom before he knows that they deserve a punishment. Maybe in that part, maybe in the Middle East, the only way to survive is by being mean and killing and not being mocked and circumcised. So the Rebbe Shalom tells the Malach, and first passed by Avram, he lived just a few miles away from Sodom, and he's a very decent person. So in this sense, Avraham Avinu was Mechayev Anshei Sodom, like Hillel Mechayev Aniyim and Rebbe Mechayev Ashir. So that's why the Medrash says that in a certain sense he was to be compared to Beis Din. Just like Atasim Levanecha, who Yoshev, Bikesh Lamoid, when the Shechina came and wanted to stand up out of respect for the Shechina, Baruch Shalom said, no, you sit down, you're like the Beis Din now. You don't realize it, but you're serving as the Beis Din to sign the death warrant for the whole city of Sodom. Because you live right in the same area and you act properly, but not Olam HaMakom, but Olam HaHaver, they don't. So that's going to be their death warrant. And this week's Haftarah, there are two different stories. Eishes Ovadia comes to complain to Elisha Hanavi that her husband died and he had borrowed money to supply food to the Nevi Hashem. And now that he died, he left no assets. She has no way to pay up the debts. The Hanosha Bola Kachas is Shnei Elodei Loi Lavodim. And the Malvim, the ones who lent the money to my husband Ovadia, are coming to collect my children to serve as Avodim. What kind of a din is that? Mechilta has a comment on the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, Nimka Bignevasa V'loy B'choyvot. You only sell a person as an Eved Ivri if he did a Gneva, even if he did a Gzela, you don't sell him. Only if Nimka Bignevasa V'loy B'Gzela. And it says there's no debtor's prison. And there's no, if a person owes money because of a chayv, he borrowed money, so you don't sell him as an eved ivri. There is no such thing. You don't sell a person as an eved ivri because he owes money. When he'll earn money, then he'll be able to pay. So what kind of halacha is this? Anosha balakach shnei lo de lavadim. The husband died and the malvim are coming to take away the children. So the Meshech Chachma quotes from Matthias and Avodah Zarah about a different aspect. I don't think Tess is talking about this pasuk. Tess is talking about a different thing. That Achav HaMelech, who was at that time was such a Melech Rasha, used to be done with Dinei B'nei Noach. Instead of using Dinei HaTorah, Choshe Mishpat used to use Dinei B'nei Noach. That's what the secular courts in Israel do. No, they use Dinei B'nei Noach. They use Turkish law, they use British law, Arab law, anything but Jewish law. They abhor Jewish law. Terrible. In Jewish law has already everything all worked out. In the Shulchan Aruch, you have the cases, all the cases that have all worked out already. The cases that British law and Turkish law didn't even dream up yet, everything is there in the Chazanish. Everything is there in the Shach and the Ketzos, everything is there, all worked out already. But they don't want one of the blemishes on the Jewish people. That we have our own Medina and we can't use the Jewish law, Choshen Mishpat, in the courts. So the Meshech Chachma has an interesting, in Ar Samech, I think he has this, he has an interesting interpretation of a Gemara in Yesh Neuchlin, in Baba Basra. There is a din that when the father dies and he leaves a few sons, one is a Pchor, and the others are not, the others are Pshutim, so the Pchor gets Pishnaim, he gets two shares, and the Pshutim get one share. Means, let's say a man leaves five sons, so the firstborn son is treated as if he were two sons. Not that he gets two-thirds of the Yerusha, and you divide the rest of one-third of the Pishnaim doesn't always mean two-thirds. If they're two sons, so you treat the Pchor as if he himself were two, and you act as if there are three sons, and then the Pchor gets two-thirds, and the Pasha gets one-third. If you have five sons and one is a Pchor, so you make believe as if there were six sons. The Pchor is counted like two. You make believe as if there are six. So the Pchor is going to get two-sixths, and each one of the other brothers is going to get one-sixth. So the Gemara learns that from the Pasuk, B'chol Asheri Motzilo, that the Pchor is only titled to Tishnayim, the Muchzok, and not the Ro'ui. In other words, let's say the father wins a sweepstakes ticket after he dies. So at the time of the father's death, he didn't have this asset yet. He didn't possess the money yet. So then the Pchor doesn't get Tishnayim. But let's say you have Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yankiv. So let's say first Avraham Avinu died, then Yitzchak Avinu dies, then Yankiv dies later. Let's say for argument's sake it would be the reverse. Let's say Yankiv and Esav are the two sons of Yitzchak, and let's say for argument's sake Yaakov is the Pchor. Let's make believe Yaakov is the Pchor, is going to get Tishnayim, and Esav is not going to get Tishnayim. And let's say that Yitzchak Avinu dies before Avraham Avinu. So when Yitzchak dies, he has a millionaire. He's a millionaire. So when he dies, he leaves over a few million dollars for Yaakov and Esav. Yaakov gets two-thirds and Esav gets one-third. And then Avraham Avinu is also a millionaire. He dies after Yitzchak Avinu dies. It's not what happened. Let's make believe as if that would be what happened. So Nichsei B'Avua Da'abo, the assets from the grandfather, that the father didn't, Yitzchak didn't have it at the time of his death. His father was still alive. Avraham Avinu will make believe is still alive when Yitzchak dies. So the Yitzchak Yarshins Bekever, the assets from Avraham Avinu, he can't take it with him. He's buried already. Yarish Bekever Lahanchalabana. He's Yarshining Bekever in order to transmit it to Yaakov and Esav. And that Yerusha, Yaakov does not get Pishnayim because Yitzchak didn't have it at the moment of death. Whatever he didn't have is called Rotli Venav Karnetel Beroikim Amukta. He doesn't get Pishnayim Beroikim Amukta. So the Gemara has a machlekes Rebbe Nachacham, machlekes Hatanaim. What about Milveh? What about here? We're talking about a sweepstakes ticket that the father didn't win yet. The drawing was only after Yitzchak died. Or Nichsei Davu Adabo, he didn't get the Bailus on the Nichsei Avram Avinu until after Yitzchak died. Then he Yarshins Bekever from the father Lahan Chalabonov, Yaakov and Esav, who are alive. What if, let's say, Yitzchak died? And he had a lot of assets. He had a lot of money in his stuffed into his mattress, and he had a lot of money that he had lent out to others. He was a very nice guy. He lent out, he gave out loans to other people, and the children collected the loans after the father dies. So what's the story of Milveh? Milveh is called Ro'ui because it wasn't collected from the Loivim until after Yitzchak dies. But he say no, but he owned it before he lent them the money. It belonged to Yitzchak, and when he lent the money, they owe him the debt. So the debt is already in existence, so that's called Muchzok. Why should that be considered Ro'i? So we paskin that that's called Ro'i. Milveh is called Ro'i. But it's a Machlekes Satanai, Machlekes Rabbi Nachacham. So the Gemara has in Yesh Nechlen at one point a suggestion, maybe some Milveh will be Muchzok and some Milveh will be Moi. Ro'i. Maybe it depends whether you lent the money to a Yisrael or you lent the money to a Nochri. Maybe in one case it'll be Ro'i, and one case it'll be Milveh. So which case should be Ro'i, which case should be Milveh? Should be Muchzak? So the old Girsas Hagainim was, if you lent it to a Nochri, that's like it's in your pocket. That's Muchzak. Lent it to Israel, you can kiss it goodbye. Then it's Ro'i. You're lucky if you get it back. So the Rashbam says that Girsas clearly doesn't make any sense. The Girsas Meshubel should be the reverse. He lent it to a Yisrael, so you know he's going to pay you back the money. So maybe that's like it's already in your pocket. Yitzchak wasn't worried whether he's going to get back the money. Because they're going to pay back the money. So maybe that's called muhzuk. But if you enter to a nachri ashapim di boshavim minim imin shoker, the pasuk says because we can't rely on her, so maybe then it's called ra'oi. So then the Gemara says, no, it doesn't make a difference whether you enter Yisrael, you enter a nachri. And that's a shaila today. What about government bonds? What about the money that I lent the government? The government is also made default. The government defaults means the whole government is going to collapse, so the whole world is going to collapse. So maybe government bonds, or you have your money in a savings account. If you have your money stashed away in a safe deposit vault, so the money is sitting there, so that's mamish muksuk. But if you have your money in a money market, or you have your money in a savings account, so that's a loan. It means I lent the money to the bank, and they're going to pay me back the halvor with the ribbis. So that's a shaila. The banks are all federally insured. So what shaykh to say that the money in the bank is ra'ui, but you're not sure if you're going to get it back? How can it be the bank may default? The bank defaults, so the federal government is going to pay. So everything is federally insured. You'll have a lot of aggravation until you have to fill out 1,000 forms and stomach until you get your money back, but you get it back. So that's a discussion in Nadi Bihuda. So it's a machlokes. Nadi Bihuda thinks it doesn't make a difference whether it's the government, it's a government bond, or it's a private loan. It doesn't make a difference. Roe is right. Milv is always right. And others hold that the Aruch HaShulchan and Ramosha and others hold, no, we should pass them like the Shoyl. The Shoyl and the Tshuva's Nadi Bihuda thought that if it's the money is owed to the government, then it's called Muchzah. It's only if the money is owed to private people, then it's called right. Owned to the government, then it's called Muchzah. So Shaila about the details. Maybe some halvoy should be considered the Muchzah as opposed to others. So this girsa in the Gemara, the old girsa that says if the money was lent to a nachri, it's called muchzak, or the money is lent to his soul, it's called roi, that's what the Rashbam says it can't be, the girsa should be fakert. So the Yerushalmi writes, no, he understands it very well with the parsha here. By us there's a din, v'din kadi gnevosa v'loi b'choyver. If the guy stole, if he did a gnev and he doesn't have any money to pay, so you sell him as an eved ivri, so you'll be able to collect. If he borrowed money and he doesn't have money to pay, you can't, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. Goodbye, Charlie. But if it's a ben noyach who borrowed the money and he doesn't pay back, so achav was done bedinim ben noyach. If there's a chayv and the guy didn't pay back, we're going to sell him as an eved, and we're going to collect the money. And even if he dies, we're going to sell his children. That's gorwild. Even bedinim ben noyach, I can't understand why that should be so. But that's what the Or Sameach says, that maybe over here, by Bnei Noach, they have a concept of Shibir Aguf taken literally. Mam is Shibir Aguf. That the person is Nimka B'Halva Osoy. If the fellow doesn't pay up the debt, so we sell him as an Eved. So since they have a concept of Shibir Aguf taken literally, the Guf Adam is Mamish Meshubit to pay back, and if he doesn't pay back, we sell him as an Eved. So maybe that was the original suggestion in Igmar, that Halva is called Mukhzah. But if you lend to Esau, it's not how honest the loiver is going to be. Can you expect him to pay back? It's a question legally. How far does the law allow you to oppress him to pay back the chayv? So bedina bin anayach, the law allows you even further than bedina Yisrael. That's what the Osamech suggests based on this haftorah. Then the Novi Elisha asks the Almana, what does she have in the bayis? Hagidali ma yesh loch ba'boyis. She says she only has osuk shomen, a small container of oil. So the Malbim in his commentary quotes, this is a famous comment from the Zohar, that the blessing is not chal, blessing from heaven is not chal, a pasora reikanya, on an empty table. Pasora is a table. If you have nothing, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is not going to make a miracle that there's going to come yesh meyayin. The Rebbeinu Shlomo in sheshis mei bereishis created yesh meyayin. But yom ha-shvi'i shavaz la'ino fash, after the 6 days of creation, he no longer makes things yesh meyayin. He only makes yesh meyayin. If there's something there, then it expands further. So that's why in the Gemara, in Chelek, in the last parak in Sanhedrin, the Gemara records a very old minhag that the Gemara says was from the days of Tanakh, that when you recite Birchas HaMazon at the end of the meal, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Re'enu Zeneinu, Parnaseinu, Chalkaleinu, give us food. So the minhag always was that you leave some bread on the table. So yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see, we have a little bread, see to it that the bread should expand. But if you're going to have, the tables are cleared off, like at the end of the wedding. They take off the tablecloth. They roll up the carpet before you say the Birchas HaMazon. So there's no food there on the table. So that's what the Gemara says, that's not proper. You should leave a little bread on the table at the time of Birchas HaMazon to imply to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a pasora rekanya. We have something here, and we're asking you to expand on that. So that's what the Malbim quotes, that's the passage from the Zohar. why did Elisha Novi ask the Almona, what is Maya Shlach Babois, and she says she has an Osir Shaman, because if she would have had nothing, so the bracha wouldn't be chal. You have to have something in order that the bracha should be chal. That's what the Mefarshim say is the meaning of the line in the piyut that we say on Chanukah in most Tzui. Say, "Minoisa kankanim nasa neis lasheshanim." There had to be something left over in order for the miracle to occur. If all of the oil would have been burnt up the first night, there wouldn't be any oil the next night. So what's a miracle is going to happen? It's going to burn yesh mayayin? No, there was a little oil, and it lasted for much longer than it should have. If there's something there, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make a miracle of yesh miyesh, but he's not going to make a miracle of yesh miyayin. Why did he tell her to close the door? He says, what do you have? She should borrow empty pots and pans from all the neighbors. Uvos, you should bring them home. V'sagarta delas ba'adecha b'yad banach, she'll lock the door, that the neighbors shouldn't come in. And then you should do this miracle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do a miracle, so he doesn't want to be mefarshim. Sometimes the miracles were intended to be done before Hesiyot, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, Ma'amen HaSinai, Kriyas Yamsuf. There were millions of people watching. And in other cases, when you don't have, it was not intended to be such a public function. So then we assume that Kvod Elokim has the Dover. Kvod Malachim Chakor Dover. We spoke about Parshas Bereshis. Kvod Elokim has the Dover means when the Rabban Shalom is creating things and the Sheshis made Bereshis. So the Rabban Shalom wants us that Kvod Elokim to be master there. So that's what he says with Sagat HaDelos Ba'adech. That's how the Medrash interprets what happened later in the second half of the Haftarah. You have the story with the Isha HaShunamis, who didn't have any children, and the Navi Elisha gave her a blessing. She had a baby, and then the baby got a sunstroke, and he died. So Elisha HaNavi sends Gehazi, his Shamis, the Chazal have terrible comments about Gehazi. He used to push away all the Talmid Chachamim. He was very rough with people. People used to chepper Rav Moshe Feinstein Gefellow. Many rabbis used to always pester him. He wanted letters for this and that, with everything. Rav Moshe used to have shamasim. He used to have two bachurim. He used to be with him all the time, and he used to chase away all of these pills. Rav Soloveitchik didn't have. He wasn't Zecher Rav Soloveitchik. When his wife was helping, she came. She used to chase away. When his wife was in Boston, so the Bochum never chased anybody away. He didn't know how to say no. So people just took advantage of him all the time. So they used to call her Moshe Shamos, and they used to call him Gehazi all the time. They were so angry. The Rabbanim was so angry at Bluth and Felder, the two Aaron Felder and Rabbi Bluth is in Flatbush now. So they used to refer to these two as Gehazi, because Gehazi always used to push away the... Take my cane, and if you see people in the street, don't talk to them. Don't say hello to anybody. If anybody greets you, don't answer. And you should take this cane and put it on the boy's face, and he will have a tchias hamesa. So the story continues that he went and called in kosher. Nothing happened. So Rashi quotes from the Chazal. He was walking in the street, twirling the cane. He says to everybody, he's not supposed to tell anybody. So you see this cane, I'm going to do tchias hamesa. He's showing up. He told him like the Navi said before, Sagat HaDelos Ba'adech. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted this to be a private nest. There's such a thing as a public nest, like Yetzias Kriyas Yamsuf and other things like that. And the other nisma is supposed to be Kvod Elokim Hester Dover. So that's why the miracle didn't work, because the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it to be the tzinnit. Didn't want everybody to, didn't want to have the media covering it on the television. The Gemara has in the end of Maseches Nida. The Gemara has a discussion about the Ben Hashunamis, about the baby, is he Netamei or not? Because originally he died and then he came back to life. So the Gemara says, no, not metame. Ameis metame. Achai ain't metame. Once he comes back to life, he's not metame. So Rav Unterman wrote a tshuva many years ago when they first started doing transplants. So the shaila was that a mace is also b'hanoa. Forget about tumor, okay? Just mind that the whole issue of tumor v'tare is not too relevant. But the shaila is a mace is also b'hanoa. So are you permitted to make a transplant from a mace? So mikra din, the din is not only mace yisola rasa b'hanoa, mace yakum amuta b'hanoa. There are more, says in Shulchan Aruch, that you should be machmer l'chatzchila to avoid getting hanoa from mace yakum also whenever possible. But it's mamish a matter of saving a person's life or something like that, so then that would be pikuach nefesh. But even if it wouldn't be pikuach nefesh, let's say cornea transplant or something like that, so to take from a mesei yakum mistamba, we would be mekel on that because it's just a chumra. Ikred din mesei yakum are really mutabano. But what about mesei yisrael? Mesei yisrael is also bano, so you're not allowed to take, let's say, a cornea from a mesei yisrael unless you should say that only besar hames is also b'hanoa mikra din. Maybe the cornea is not considered basar. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, maybe has a status like orb. Rav Moshe has a suggestion. So Rav Unterman had a suggestion which was sharp, but it wasn't accepted. He had a suggestion: once you're going to take this cornea, a liver, whatever, and you're going to put it onto you take something from a dead person and you put it on a live person, so it becomes part of the live person. So it had a tchias hamesim. So once the mace has a tchias hamesim, so it's muta b'hanoa. Just like the Gemara said about the ben ashunamis, that the mace is metame, achai is ain't metame. So here, there wasn't a tchias hamesim on the whole organism of the dead person. The dead person is still dead, but you made a tchias hamesim on this one, Aver. So he suggested maybe you can't say that you're getting hanoa from the mace, because that part of the mace just had a tchias hamesim. So in the Shalas and Chuvas of the Sridi Yesh, Rabbi Chiel Weinberg quotes this, and he's not too happy. He just says it has not, his suggestion has not been accepted. They consider this a Tchias HaMeisim, Nisa HaNor goes on. When the baby had the sunstroke and he died, that's how the Gemara understands. The Gemara says that when Elisha HaNavi was walking with Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi is about to go up to heaven, so he requested of Eliyahu HaNavi, he wants to have, Eliyahu HaNavi says, make a request and it will be granted. So he says he wants to have Pishnaim Beruchacha. What does it mean, Pishnaim Beruchacha? So the Gemara understands he wants to have double the Karach HaNavuah of Eliyahu HaNavi. Where did he get double? And his request was granted, and he got double the Karach HaNavuah. So where did he see that he got double the Karach HaNavuah? So the Gemara says Eliyahu HaNavi was on the Mechai one maze, and Elisha was Machayat two Mason. So one of the Mason was the Ben Ashunamis. And then the other Mason, the Gemara tells you what happened. Parshin in the Lochim that they buried a Russia next to Elisha by mistake. And Allah buried a Tzaddik next to a Russia. And they violated the din. There was some foreign soldiers came, and the Chevi Kadishi got scared. So they had this Russia, and they dumped him. They buried him, 1, 2, 3. They buried him right next to Elisha, and they all ran away. So Menashamayim, they caused the miracle to occur because it's not proper to have a Russia buried next to a Tzaddik. So the Russia had a Tchias HaMeisim. He walked away Dalarams, and then he dropped dead over there. But he had a Tchias HaMeisim to walk away Dalarams. And Mar said that was the second mace, that Elisha was Mechayev. This is the first mace. This is all against the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the Moira Nevuchim that what's going on over here? What's that Tchias HaMeisim? That's what he said in Mar, Tchias HaMeisim. So he says, no. He says, we have recorded in the books on medicine that sometimes a person stops breathing for 3 days and then he comes to later. Just because he's not breathing doesn't mean that he's dead. Here the baby wasn't breathing. Spell, he wasn't breathing. But then they gave him artificial, mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. They just breathed into his mouth. He came through. So the Rambam claims he was never dead in the first place. That's what they say. It's against the Gemara. The Gemara said the Pharisee that he was dead. The Gemara had a suffix whether he's metame. The Gemara came out with the Chiddush. He's a chai. There was a Tchias HaMeisim. This is one of the two Tchias HaMeisims that Elisha HaNavi did. It's against the Rambam. That's the problem. That's the problematic Rambam. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote from the Rambam in Hilchas Ovel that the Chevri Kadisha has to make sure that the person is dead before they bury him. So how do they know he's dead? Maybe he just fainted. Let's say anyone who faints, is unconscious. So they're going to, 1, 2, 3. Lasalim Nivlasa, you're going to bury him right away. Maybe he's still alive. So the Rambam, quoted by the Shulchan Aruch, says, you got to wait a while, got to wait 15 minutes, 20 minutes to see if he's not breathing. He's not breathing for 20 minutes. So then you know that he's dead and you can bury him. So how did the Rambam? Rambam claims that it says in the books on medicine that it's physically possible for a person to be to stop breathing for 3 days and then to come to and to come back and to lead a normal life. How is that? This is against the din. We assume that the person is not breathing for 20 minutes. He's dead. So this was the kasha that the Maritz Chai sent to the Chasam Sofer. When they passed the law in Europe, in different countries, that you're not allowed to bury a mace until 72 hours go by after the death certificate was signed. Because they saw some of the doctors were signing death certificates that someone's dead, and then later on they would wake up and they would, every so often they have it in this newspaper. You're shopping in the A&P, so they have this newspaper, the Enquirer, so they have headlines, these crazy things. That a guy was knocking on the coffin, let me out of here. There's a medrash like that. The medrash in Maseches Mochas, that someone went to visit the cemetery and somebody was knocking on the grave and he said, get me out of here. They locked me in, they buried me alive, they locked me in. And they always have there in the newspapers every couple of years that they had a wake in a church somewhere and someone was laying flat and they were all delivering eulogies and they were all passing by and then the guy wakes up and he said, what's going on here? Why is everybody here? What am I doing over here in the shrouds in this coffin? And then he gets a heart attack and then he dies. or he gets up and he walks away. So several governments in Europe passed the law. I think some of them still have. Switzerland, I think the law is still like that you can't bury a mace until 72 hours have gone by to make sure that the mace is dead. So the shaila was whether the Jews should accept this Xeris HaMalchus or not. Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh, even if it's a far-fetched Suffolk, also, LaHelcha B'Pikuach Nefesh HaSachar HaRayim, if there is such a far-fetched Suffolk, then maybe the doctors are signing death certificates on living people, maybe you really have to wait, 72 hours, and maybe we should go along. So that's what Moshe Mendelssohn, the one who was looked up to as the founder of the Reform movement, that was his idea. He thought that we should go along with the government and we should postpone the Kvurah, so he said, what can you do with Pikuach Nefesh? Suffolk Pikuach Nefesh, and that's what it says in Maseches Mochos also, that on one occasion fellow came to the cemetery and someone, one of the mason was knocking, get me out of here, they made a mistake and they buried me alive. So the Maritz Chayis, when he sent his shayla to the Chasam Sofer, he quoted this Mor Nebuchim. The Mor Nebuchim is talking about this incident in the Haftarah. So he says that it's recorded in the medical books that on occasion somebody fainted and he wasn't breathing at all for 3 days and he came to. So the Chasam Sofer is very upset about that. So in that tshuva he doesn't say who the tshuva is written to. Usually, the ruba of the tshuvas, hundreds of tshuvas, he always says who the tshuva is written to. Here he just says, l'chvayd v'chulei. He doesn't say who, because he says, you're an apikiris. He says to Rab Tzvi Hirschai, you're an apikiris. The Chazal say that we have a masor that you bury the mace on the same day. What do you mean, pikoch nefesh? The Torah Kedoshah says that you bury, you're not concerned about this far-fetched possibility. That once in 1,000 years they bury the guy alive. What it says in Maseches Mochos happened once in the history of the world that they bury the person alive. It doesn't happen all the time. If it happened all the time, it wouldn't be recorded in Maseches Mochos. It means that it's such a rare thing that it hardly happens. So that's not called the Suffolk Sakona. Once Echad Mini Elef Alfi Elofim is not called the Suffolk Sakona. So he gets so angry at Reb Tzvi Hirschayis that he doesn't have his name over there. Tzvi Hirschayis was very proud of the fact that he had a correspondence with the Chasam Sofer. So he printed the tshuva. He printed what he wrote and what the Chasam Sofer sent back as a separate volume. Now they have it in the Kol Kisvei Maritz Chayis. But in the Chasam Sofer's tshuva, he doesn't say who the tshuva is to, because he imputes as if he's an apikoris. How is he not trusting the Chazal? And he talks about this, and Chasam Sofer talks about this more in the book. All the tshuvas like that. If you don't have the shaila that was sent to the Chasam Sofer, you don't know what in the world is he talking about in the tshuva. All of a sudden, he starts talking about a Mor Nebuchim. Where did he get it from? Because the shaila, Tzvi Hirschai sent him in the shaila, he sent him a comment about the Mor Nebuchim. So that's what he answers, paragraph by paragraph, he answers according to what Rav Tzvi Hirsch Chayes wrote him. That's the same. There are a lot of tshuvas in the Chacham Sofer where it's extremely unclear. What is he driving at? Because we don't have what the shoyel is. A lot of tshuvas about kashrus also that are very unclear. That the later poskim are not sure what the Chacham Sofer is talking about because he didn't explain the whole story from the beginning. The tshuva was written in response to what the other person said. The pasuk says when the baby had his sunstroke, the wife was afraid to tell her husband that he died. So she brought the baby home. Atashkivehu almitas ishu elokim. She put the dead baby on Elisha's bed because she had made a special room for Elisha Hanavi. And she tells her husband she wants to go visit Elisha Navi. So he says, "What are you going today? L'chodesh ayom v'lo Shabbos. It's not Shabbos." So she says, "It's okay. Shalom. No problem." She didn't want to tell her husband. So the Gemara in the first paragraph of Rosh Hashanah has a comment on this. If it would have been chodesh and Shabbos, then the husband would understand why she's going to visit Isha Elokim. But because it's neither Rosh Chodesh nor Shabbos, that's why he doesn't understand. So from this pasuk we see that Chayav Adam. The Kabbal Pnei Rabbi Borego, that you're obligated to visit the Rebbe on the Sholosh Regalim. What do you see on the Sholosh Regalim? He says, L'chodesh ayom v'lo Shabbos. He doesn't say anything about Sholosh Regalim. So they quote in the name of the Vilna Goyen that the word Shabbos in this pasuk doesn't mean Shabbos, what we call Shabbos. But the Gemara calls Shabbos Bereshis. Gemara says Shabbos Bereshis doesn't mean Shabbos Parshas Bereshis. It means the weekly Shabbos that come that was determined. In Parshas Bereshis, when Hashem created the world, that's called Shabbos Bereshis, as opposed to Yamim Tovim, which are called Shabbos, but it's not Shabbos Bereshis. Like it says, you should start counting Sfir Mimachres HaShabbos, Mayam HaViyach Mezayim HaTnufo. Or Yom Kippur is called Shabbos Shabbos. So the word Shabbos applies to every Yontif. So this usage of the term Shabbos over here, it doesn't mean Shabbos, the weekly Shabbos, it refers to the Sholosh Regalim. So the husband says today is not Sholosh Regalim and it's not Rish Chodesh. And Sholosh Regalim, that's what the Nadiv Yehuda writes, that there's a connection in the Maharsha and the Vilna Goyen also assume like that. All three assume the same. Chai Vodim L'Kabo Pnei Rabba Beregel is somehow connected with the Din of Aliyah L'Regel. We're obligated to visit the Shechina three times a year Beregel. So therefore it's shaykh to have an obligation to visit the Rebbe three times a year. If there wouldn't have been a din to visit the Shechina, then you couldn't have a din to visit the Rebbe. You're not mechuyev to be mechabed the Rebbe more than you're mechuyev to be mechabed the Shechina. That's the Gemara in Kiddush in the end of the first parak. The Gemara says, if the Talmidim sit in the base medrash all day long, the Rebbe comes in and out all day long, so they're not mechuyev to stand up to say that every time the Rebbe comes in, they're going to stand up. The Gemara says, you're only mechuyev to say Kriya Shema once in the daytime and once at night time. So you're not mechuyev to be mechabed the Rebbe more than you're mechuyev to be mechabed the Shechina. You say Kriya Shema once in the morning and once in the evening. So when the Rebbe comes in, 10 times he walks into the Beis Medrash. The first time he walks in, you stand up. When he comes in at night, the first time you're there, you stand up. And you don't stand up more than that. It's not proper. Some Rishonim say it's not obligatory, others say that it's improper. It's not proper, at least not obligatory, to be mechabed the boss of Adam more than to be mechabed the Shechina. So the same over here, that's what the Nadiv Yehuda argues. How can you have an obligation, Chai Varam L'Kabo Pnei Rabba Beregel, the obligation can only be to the extent that there's a chiyuv to be mechabed the Shechina, to visit the Shechina on Sholosh Regalim, so there's a chiyuv to visit the Rebbe on the Sholosh Regalim also. So the Nadiv Yehuda says that Bizman Hazeh, Shein Beis HaMikdash Kaim, we don't visit the Shechina, so the whole din of visiting the Rebbe doesn't apply. Supposedly, the story goes that Mrs. Nadiv Yehuda didn't like the East Haven Minig that on Shabbos Chalamayit Pesach and on Shabbos Chalamayit Sukkot, the whole kehillah would go visit the rabbi. She had to bake latkes or cookies or whatever and serve kibbutz for the whole community. So she told the husband, write a tshuva that I don't have to. So he wrote a tshuva. I don't know. That's how the legend goes. Whatever it was. He has a tshuva that is no longer obligatory. He quotes from the Gemara that they did it. The Gemara talks about Chai Varam Kabbal Pnei Rabba Beregel and Bovel. In the days of the Talmud Bavli, they went to visit the Reish Galusa. The Gemara Sukkot talks about that. So he says, yeah, that they did it voluntarily, but he says the obligation is no longer there. You can't be obligated to be Mechabed the Rebbe more than you're obligated to be Mechabed the Shechina. So So that's what they're going to go out in the Marsha both say. L'chodesh ayam lo Shabbos. Shabbos doesn't mean Shabbos. It means Yontif. Today's neither Rosh Chodesh nor Yontif. There is an Inyan of Aliyah L'regel on Yontif, and there seems to be an Inyan of Aliyah L'regel on Rosh Chodesh also. That's what he says, L'chodesh ayam lo Shabbos. We don't have such a chiyuv in Chumash. We don't have it. It doesn't say that you're obligated to be oil L'regel on Rosh Chodesh. But that's a Gemara in Bav Metzia, the end of Bav Metzia. And the Pays, I think the Gemara says that Eliyahu Hanavi used to come to the Beis Medrash every day. And once on Rosh Chodesh he came, he showed up late. So they asked him, my high, why did he come so late? So he said he had to go, every Rosh Chodesh he goes to the Maris HaMachpelah, and he wakes up Avraham Avinu and he washes Negelvas and he davens with him. Then after he finished davening, he tucks him back in. Then he wakes up Yitzchak, washes Negelvasa. That's what the Maris says. What do you mean washes Negelvasa? Like a person who's alive. Anyway, he wakes up, he washes his hands. So Tzadik Mimisas and Kruim Chayim. So it's as if they're just sleeping. They're really dead, but we treat them as if they're just sleeping, and they're waking up, and we wash Negelvas in the morning. And then he tucked in Yitzchak, so they asked him, so why do you have to do three times? Why don't you wake them all up together? And you wouldn't have to daven with each one separately, so it would have taken one third of the time. He said the instructions are from the Rabban Shalom, he doesn't want Moshiach to come yet. And if all three will daven together and pressure the Rabban Shalom to bring Moshiach. So he has to wake each one up separately and each one daven separately. So it took him so long, so that's why he came late to the Beis Medrash. So the Mashua has a comment on that Gemara. What is this inyan? That the Ovois pray to the Rabbanu Shel Olam on Rosh Chodesh. So he says it's an inyan like Aliyah L'Regel, that everybody has to go visit the Shechinah on Sholosh Regolim. That's obligatory. So on Rosh Chodesh he says there's no obligation, but there's a mitzvah kiyumis. We spoke earlier about such a concept of mitzvah kiyumis. So the Mashua says there's such an inyan on mitzvah kiyumis to visit, as it says, Vahayah, the concluding pasuk in Yeshayah, Vahayah, Midei Chodesh B'chadshoy, Midei Shabbos B'Shabbat HaYovo, Kol Basar V'Shtachlos L'Fanai, Amar Hashem. What is Midei Chodesh, Midei Shabbos B'Shabbato? Everyone is going to come visit the Beis HaMikdash every Shabbos? No, it means Midei Shabbos B'Shabbato goes on the Sholosh Regalim. Everyone's going to come visit on Sholosh Regalim. And then it says, Midei Chodesh B'chadshoy, they'll come visit on Rosh Chodoshim as well. So on that pasuk in the end of Yeshayah, is a Yalkut Shemoni that has such a comment. In all the years of the Golus, the Bnei Yisrael feel bad that we don't have an opportunity to fulfill Aliyah L'Regel. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we daven the Shemoneh Esrei. We should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash and he should give us the opportunity to be Aliyah L'Regel on the Sholosh Regolim. We always say, Tachatoenu, Galinu Miatzenu, Nisachaknu, please build the Beis HaMikdash and give us the opportunity to be Aliyah L'Regel. So the Rebbeinu Shlomo tells Bnei Yisrael, that's how the Medrash Yalkut Shemoni says the end of Yishai. Kindalach, you really desire so much to be Ola Regal, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. When I'm going to build the third Beis HaMikdash, I'll give you an opportunity to make good on all the years that you missed Ali Ola Regal and Shalom Shugal. I'll tell you what, come every Rosh Chodesh, there's a mitzvah to you, Mr. Be Ola Regal and Rosh Chodesh. Not that Lasi Lover, the Rebbeinu Shlomo is going to change the dinim. No, apparently there was always such a concept as being Ola Regal on Rosh Chodesh. So that's what the Mashua says, waking up of the Obis every Rosh Chodesh to have them daven is a b'china like being mekabel p'nei Shechina on every Rosh Chodesh to visit the Shechina like Aliyah L'Regel. The living and the dead, it's a mitzvah, the living and the dead, everybody should be mekabel p'nei Shechina. So that's what the Vilna Goyen puts these two psukim together. The Aliyah L'Regel will be on Rosh Chodeshim and on Sholosh Regalim. Midei Shabbos b'Shabbat means Sholosh Regalim. And this pasuk in the Haftar also means L'Chodesh Hayom V'Lo Shabbos. To visit the Rebbe is on the same days when you visit the Shechina. There can't be an obligation. That's the Nevi Yehuda's premise, and that's what the Marsha and the Vilna Gaon both seem to be assuming. You cannot have an obligation to visit the Rebbe in excess of the obligation to visit the Shechina. So the husband tells the wife, it's neither Rosh Chodesh nor Sholosh Regalim. Why are you going to visit the Rebbe? He says, I have an issue. Shalom. No problem. So what did the husband say? If it would have been Rosh Chodesh, it would have been Sholosh Regalim. He would understand. That's on Sholosh Regalim. Chai Varam Lahakmal Paner Abba Beregel. And Rosh Chodesh, there would be a mitzvah kiyumis, like there's a mitzvah kiyumis to visit the Beis HaMikdash. And this occasion was neither, so that's why. So that's why the husband is. the famous comment from Abchaim on the Akedah, Rashi and Chumash quotes a Medrash, and it's a little bit not understood. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Avram Avinu, Kachnas Bincho V'Haleo Shom Li'oilos, Avram Avinu was wondering, how is if I'm going to bring him as an oiler, how will the blessing of HaKadosh Baruch Hu be fulfilled? Ki B'Yitzchok Yikor L'cho Zera. Originally thought that Damestik Eliezer Hu Yerushoisi, my Yevit is going to perpetuate the theme of monotheism. Then Rabbanu Shalom says, no. Asher Yetzim Imeyach is going to be one of your own children. Then he thought, V'Yishmol Yechiel L'Fodach is going to be Yishmol. Rabbanu Shalom says, no, forget about Yishmol. Ki B'Yitzchok Yikor L'cho Zera. Your wife is going to have a baby. Yitzchok, that's going to be. Now he's Shech Yitzchok. So no more Yitzchok. So who's going to be the Eschol Goy Gadol? Going back to Yishmol. Going back to Damestik Eliezer again. So he didn't ask the kasha. The Rabbanu Shalom tells him Kafnas Bincha didn't ask the kasha. Then when he goes on Hara Maria, so he's about to shech the son, and the Malach says Al Tishlo Yochal Anar. So he doesn't. And then he asked the Rabbanu Shalom, explain to me what's going on. So Rabbanu Shalom tells him, I never told you to shech them. I told you Haleu, bring him up, climb up on top of the mountain. Ask to say, you took him up. Ach say, you take him down the mountain. Good ask, good ask. Ask to say, you took him up. So actually, so you go down from the mountain. So what do you mean? Avraham Avinu misunderstood the whole nevuah. Ha'alehu sham le'oila just means take him up, climb up the mountain. He totally misunderstood the nevuah. So ha'pela digazach. He was prepared to kill his son because he misunderstood the nevuah. It's interesting. The Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim that why is the Akedah recorded in the Chumash? So Pashab should say to teach us the importance of Mesiras Nefesh for Muna. So the Rambam says yet, but he has another reason. He says to emphasize how clear the prophecies were to the prophets. Not only Moshe Rabbeinu had an Aspa Gloria Hamayira, he had a direct dictation. Even the other Nevi'im, who didn't have a direct dictation of Osias and Nekudas, they had a Mara and a Chazon, which they interpreted, but to them it was, at the end of the prophecy, it was absolutely crystal clear what was being transmitted to them. He says, would Avraham Avinu be prepared to kill his one and only son? Who was born at the age of 100 is prepared to kill his son because of some chaloyim that he had. So he says, the Parshas Akedah is recorded in the Chumash to show us how clear the Nevuah was that a man is prepared to shecht his own son. Then Rashi quotes a Medrash that he totally misunderstood the Nevuah. Halei Shamlil just meant ask to say, and now ach say, you took him up on top of the mountains and not taking them. So Chaim says that that's not what it meant. Haleu Shalom Li'ala means that Avram Avinu was commanded to be Magdish his son as a carbon oil. Magdish, the Baruch Shalom never said that he should shecht him. Then Avram Avinu understands on his own. What do you do if you have a carbon oil? You're walking in the street in Yerushalayim and you find an animal that has a tag on it. I am a carbon oil. So the Mishnah is like that. Mishkolim, if you find an animal, you makriv it as an oil, as a shlomim, whatever. You find an animal that has a tag, it's an oil, a shlomim, whatever. So you makriv it, whoever the Bala carbon is. So Avraham Avinu was only told Haleu Shom Li'ala to be Magdash your son in the Hakdosha was Chal, and he had a din of Oilah. That's what Rashi says later. Vahi Rab Baretz, in the days of Yitzchak there was a Rab Melvad HaRab Asher HaYav Me Avraham Aviv, in addition to the Rab that's in today's Sedra, and says Vayeri Yitzchak went to Gror on his way to Mitzrayim to do the same as the father did. He went down to Mitzrayim, and then Vayeri Rab Hashem Hashem Epis to Yitzchak. He says, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael, you're Karben Oilah. Carbon oil is nifsal b'yotze. If you go out of the makom, you'll become nifsal. They see that he was a carbon oil. The father was magdish, and he was a carbon oil. And the burning of the ayil is considered as if Yitzchok's body was burned. The Medrash always speaks about afreshal Yitzchok tzavra munach lefonai agabi hamizbeach. The ashes of Yitzchok, so to speak, are on the mizbeach. Yitzchok was never burned. How can they talk about the ashes of Yitzchok? The pasuk says at the end of the Teichecha, in the Chukosai, Zachat is B.C. Yaakov, the Apes B.C. Yitzchak, the Apes B.C. Avraham Ezko, Behoret Ezko. So it says the verb, the Zacharti, in connection with with Yaakov, and connection with Avraham. It never says in connection with Yitzchak, the Zacharti. So Rashi quotes in the Medrash, Zachir is, if I don't see something, but I remember it. If I'm staring the person in the face, it's right in front of me, I don't say, I remember you. Here you are, of course I remember you, you're here every day. What shach, I forget you. He's under my nose. So it doesn't say Zechira by Yitzchak, because Afishal Yitzchak Tzavar Munach Lufana Agave Mizbech. Baruch Shalom doesn't need any Zikorin to remember Yitzchak. His ashes are right there. What do you mean his ashes? He was never burned. It means the burning of the ayil was considered Al Pidin as if Yitzchak was burned, and the ashes of the ayil are there on the Mizbech. So you see that the Hakdosh of Yitzchak was tough. just the din hakrava wasn't on Yitzchak. So Avraham Avinu was never really nitztaveh to be makriv his son. He was nitztaveh to be makdish him. He was prepared to be makriv him because he knew that's the halacha says that. He was never given a tzibur. If you have an animal roaming around and you know the animal is a carbon idol, so it's a mitzvah lahakrivah. He was never nitztaveh on that. So then when he was about to do that he knew on his own that's the din. When you have a carbon, you have to do a shechita, kabbalah, halacha, zvika, haftarah, and so on. He was prepared to do the haftarah, and the malach says stop. That wasn't really the Ratzon Hashem, but it's not. He didn't misunderstand what the Ribbono Shel Olam told him. Ribbono Shel Olam told him, Haleo Shamleo doesn't mean just climb up the mountain. It doesn't just mean climb up and now it's time to climb down. It wasn't mountain climbing exercise. Haleo Shamleo means to be Magdash Yitzchak as a carbon oiler. And then he understood on his own, whenever you have a carbon oiler walking around, so the din requires, you have to be makrivit. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, the hakrav of the aisle will replace the hakrav of Yitzchak, and the Eivra of the Yael will be considered as if it's Afrishal Yitzchak Tzavar Munach Lufon Ayagabi Hamizbeach.